You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Monday, February 10, 2025. Combination of the two. A new drill-down report on consolidation in the midstream sector. Published by Housley Carr. The U.S. energy industry's midstream sector has experienced an extraordinary consolidation over the past few years. This undeniable trend has been driven by the widely held and sensible view that the winners in the industry's next era will be the midstreamers with massive scale and the right assets in the best places. As evidenced by the extension of this buying spree into 2025, there's still a lot more reshuffling to do. In today's RBN blog, we discuss a few of the latest midstream deals in the Permian, the Eagleford and the Bakken, as well as highlights from our new drill-down report on midstream M&A. As we said in our last drill-down report on the topic, in late 2023, acquisitions in the upstream sector, by E&Ps plus major integrateds like ExxonMobil and Chevron, grab most of the headlines. But there's also been a lot of M&A activity in the midstream space as the companies that gather, process, transport, store and export hydrocarbons seek to gain the scale, scope, and synergies they think they will need to succeed in an increasingly competitive industry. As in our report on midstream M&A in 2022-23, many of the midstream deals announced in 2024 and early 2025 involve the acquisition of companies with extensive holdings in the Permian, which is by far the U.S.'s top crude oil production area and also a major supplier of natural gas and NGLs. Rising Permian production over the past few years spurred a massive build-out of midstream infrastructure, including gathering systems for crude associated gas and produced water, gas processing plants, takeaway pipelines for crude, natural gas and NGL storage facilities, fractionators, and export terminals. While a significant portion of that midstream development was undertaken by large publicly held companies or master limited partnerships, MLPs, many other vital projects were developed by privately held midstream companies backed by private equity. In the post-COVID era, with many publicly held companies looking to gain further scale and scope, and many private equity-backed midstream companies looking to cash in on their well-timed, well-planned developments, it could be argued that conditions for large-scale midstream M&A have never been better. For proof, consider five noteworthy deals announced so far in the new year, three by Plains All American and one each by Phillips 66, P66, and Kinder Morgan. We'll start with P66, which announced January 6th that it had reached an agreement to acquire Epic NGL, or, more specifically, Epic Y-Grade GP LLC and Epic Y-Grade LP, two entities that own a set of significant NGL-related assets between the Permian and Texas's Gulf Coast, for a total of $2.2 billion. The deal, which is expected to close later this year, will give P66. Number 1. The 885-mile, 175,000-barrels-per-day Epic NGL pipeline, which transports Y-grade from the Permian's Delaware and Midland basins and the Eagleford. Epic NGL is expanding the pipeline's capacity to 225,000 barrels per day and has sanctioned a second expansion to 350,000 barrels per day. Number 2. Two fractionators in Robstown, near Corpus Christi, with a combined capacity of 170,000 barrels per day. P66 noted that Epic NGL has also identified a third fractionation facility that could bring its fractionation capacity up to 280,000 barrels per day but did not elaborate. Number 3. About 350 miles of NGL purity product distribution lines, including a 30-mile ethane pipeline from Robstown to ExxonMobil and Sabic's new Gulf Coast Growth Venture steam cracker about 7 miles southeast of Taft, again, near Corpus, and longer pipelines to move NGLs from Robstown to the Markham Salt Cavern Storage Facility and P66's Sweeney Hub up the coast. We'll discuss the P66 Epic NGL deal, the interesting backstory to Epic NGL's development, and how the company's assets will complement P66's extensive NGL-related assets in Texas in more detail in the drill-down report itself. Next up is Plains, which on January 7th announced that. Number 1. Plains had signed a definitive agreement to acquire Ironwood Midstream Energy Partners II, an NCAP Flatrock midstream company that owns a handful of Eagleford Basin gathering systems, for about $475 million. The deal is expected to close later in Q1 2025. Plains has also agreed to purchase about 12.7 million units, or 18%, of its outstanding series of preferred units at par, $26.25 from NCAP for about $330 million. Number 2. Plains Permian joint venture with privately held Oryx Midstream, aka Plains Oryx Permian Basin LLC, had acquired Medallion Midstream's Delaware Basin crude oil gathering system from the Energy and Minerals Group for about $160 million, $105 million net to Plains interest. The deal closed January 1. Number 3. Plains on December 23 acquired the remaining 50% interest in Midway Pipeline LLC from a subsidiary of CVR Energy for about $90 million. The 115,000 barrels per day Midway Pipeline runs from the Cushing, Oklahoma, crude oil hub to CVR's 132,000 barrels per day refinery in Coffeyville, Kansas. The deals merit more explanation. See the new drill down report for that. But the bottom line is that they further enhance Plains' crude oil footprint in the Permian, Eagle Ford, and MidCon, where the midstream giant already has assembled an impressive set of pipeline and other assets. As Plains chairman and CEO Willie Chang put it, the bolt-on acquisitions are an excellent strategic fit for Plains and allow us to progress our efficient growth strategy by adding high-quality assets adjacent to our existing integrated footprint. As for Kinder Morgan, it said January 13 that it had agreed to purchase a gas gathering and processing system in the Bakken Shale from Outrigger Energy 2 LLC for $640 million. The deal, which is expected to close by the end of Q1 2025, includes Outrigger's 105-mile, rich gas gathering system in North Dakota's Montrail and Williams counties and the company's 270 million cubic feet per day Bill Sanderson gas processing plant near Williston, North Dakota, in Williams County. The plant has direct access to the Northern Border Pipeline for its gas and to One Oaks NGL pipeline system for its mixed NGLs. Also, Kinder Morgan's Double H crude oil pipeline will be converted to NGL service by Q1 2026. Kinder Morgan is already a significant player in gas gathering and processing in the Bakken, where it owns about 2,200 miles of gas gathering lines and 330 million cubic feet per day of gas processing capacity. It also has crude oil gathering and takeaway pipelines in and out of the shale play. Again, for more about Kinder's Outrigger deal, see the new drill down report. The Plains and Kinder Morgan acquisitions are, of course, just the latest in a series of major acquisitions announced by large U.S. midstream companies over the past year or so. The new drill down report also discusses a number of other M&A agreements, including Enterprise Products Partners' $950 million acquisition of Pinion Midstream, which over the past few years had been building out its one-of-a-kind dark horse system, which gathers and treats sour associated gas in a crude oil-saturated part of the Permian's northern Delaware Basin and permanently sequesters the resulting hydrogen sulfide and carbon dioxide deep underground. The report also examines P66's $550 million purchase of Pinnacle Midstream, which had developed an extensive gas gathering and processing network in the Permian's Midland Basin, Sunoco LP's $7.3 billion acquisition of NuStar Energy and its mix of crude oil, refined products and ammonia pipelines and terminals, and One Oaks deals to acquire part, and later all, of EnLink Midstream and One Oaks purchase of Medallion Midstream's 1,000-mile-plus crude oil gathering system in the Midland Basin, not to be confused with Medallion's crude oil gathering system, which, as we just mentioned, was recently acquired by the Plains/Oryx Midstream JV. Combination of the Two was written by Sam Andrew and appears as the first song on side one of Big Brother and the holding company's second studio album, Cheap Thrills. The album was presented as a live album recorded at Bill Graham's Fillmore Auditorium in San Francisco, but in fact was recorded live in the studio at Columbia Studio B in New York City and at Columbia Studio in Hollywood. The only live song on the album is Ball and Chain, which was recorded at the Grande Ballroom in Detroit in March 1968. Audience sounds from the Fillmore were used in the mix of the LP. Bill Graham introduces the band as they go into Combination of the Two. The psychedelic R&B song features Sam Andrew on lead vocals and the splattering fuzz lead guitar work of James Gurley on his Les Paul special. Personnel on the record were Sam Andrew, lead vocal, rhythm guitar, James Gurley, lead guitar, Janis Joplin, backing vocals, Guiro, Peter Albin, bass, backing vocals, and Dave Getz, drums. Cheap Thrills was recorded in the spring of 1968 at Columbia Studios in New York City and Hollywood and at the Grande Ballroom in Detroit. Produced by John Simon, the album was released in August 1968 and went to number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart and has been certified 2X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. One single, Piece of My Heart, was released from the LP. A personal aside, your managing director of musicology at RBN, had been hearing about this band and how they had been one of the highlights of the Monterey Pop Festival put on in June 1967. I bought their first album, Big Brother and the Holding Company, on Mainstream Records when it came out in September 1967. With the exception of the song Down on Me, I thought the LP was disappointing and sounded like flat, uninspired folk rock, not the slamming, psychedelic, blues-infused San Franciscan rock band with a unique female vocalist I had been reading and hearing about. I was scanning the new release albums at the JCPenney's store in Tulsa in August 1968 and was immediately attracted to the Robert Crumb artwork on the cover of Cheap Thrills. With its reference to Barney's Beanery, a bar I would later frequent when I lived in Hollywood, the colorful Zap Comics exaggerated hippie characters in Crumb's lowbrow artwork, and an endorsement from the world's largest motorcycle organization, I knew I had to buy this album. The album more than delivered and captured the magic of the band that the world would soon see when the documentary film Monterey Pop was released in December 1968. Sadly, this would be Janis Joplin's last album with the band, as the executives at Columbia Records convinced her to leave the band, taking Sam Andrew with her and hiring studio musicians to back her up. In my opinion, nothing she recorded after Cheap Thrills matched the sheer force and ferocity of the music she made with Big Brother and the Holding Company. Big Brother and the Holding Company are an American rock band formed in San Francisco in 1965 as part of the burgeoning San Francisco psychedelic rock scene. After becoming the house band at the Avalon Ballroom in San Francisco, original members Peter Albin, Sam Andrew, James Gurley, and Dave Getz, through their manager Chet Helms, hooked up with Janis Joplin as their lead singer. After their stellar performance at the Monterey Pop Festival, Clive Davis offered them a recording contract with Columbia Records. After recording two albums with the band, Joplin left for a solo career. She released one studio album before her death in October 1970, and one studio album posthumously. Big Brother and the Holding Company have released six studio albums, nine live albums, and seven singles. 19 members have passed through the band since its formation. James Gurley died in 2009, and Sam Andrew died in 2015. Original members Peter Albin and Dave Getz continue to tour as Big Brother and the Holding Company with various touring musicians.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.